Senate Bill 149, an act to allow a school district to impose additional taxes.
Senate Bill 149 has had its second reading and is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Eberst.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, it's a privilege for me to bring a bill before the Senate today that is a long overdue supplement to the school aid property tax relief package that this legislature passed in 1995. Many of you, like me, share a commitment to the integrity of the school aid formula. And the first thing I want to stress is that this bill is outside of our present school aid formula. You and I both share a belief that we owe a sense of fairness to the school and taxpayers and students when bills leave this chamber marked due pass. Over the years, we patiently watched and gathered data, and especially in the past 6 years. We've reacted to excessive fund balances and surprised by actual ADM numbers and declining enrollment numbers. We've acted quickly to build a world-class technology infrastructure in this state, and we've done that together. We've also held the line on increasing money to schools at the rate of inflation or 3%, whichever is less, in most but not all years. It is both appropriate and safe, I truly believe, to now, in the year 2002, consider that we can and should treat counties, cities, and schools in an equal manner and trust that we will not harm government, taxpayers, or students in the process. How can we do that? Well, we can allow school districts to capture property tax revenues on new construction in the district, just like counties and cities are allowed to do. And that is what Senate Bill 149 is all about. State law restricts county and municipal property tax increases to 3% or the rate of inflation, whichever is less. However, increases in property valuations due to improvements or changes in the use of the property are not subject to this restriction. And I'm going to give you a quick example. If a county raises $10 million in property tax in the year 01, the index factor is 3%, and the change in assessed valuation due to new construction is a 5% increase, the county can now levy $10.8 million in property taxes in year two. This amounts to an 8% increase in revenues. Unlike counties and municipalities, school districts are not able to capture additional tax revenues for new construction. The per pupil allocation that determines each district's general state aid is increased solely based on the index factor, which is limited to the lesser of inflation, or 3%. This bill simply allows school districts with growing property tax bases to capture the revenue from that growth, as do counties and municipalities. The bill in no way affects the state aid formula, and I want to stress, is revenue neutral to the state of South Dakota. Revenue neutral to our state. I also want to share with you that when you look at this process, which obviously looks a little bit technical and mathematical in the bill as it's actually written, you need to keep in mind a couple things. One of them is that local school districts have property tax valuation counted against them when it comes to the school aid formula. And so local effort, as we look at it, can increase and increase and increase. And if you get a district that is wealthy enough, it will leave the state aid formula. That is obviously happened in districts such as Agar. This bill does not change any of that. But what it does do is balance it off by saying you get less state dollars for your wealth, but you also get to capture the tax that goes with that wealth for the school district. The per student amount levied by a district in any given year cannot exceed 4% of the state's per student allocation in that year. Quite simply, what I'm saying is this bill caps off at 4% increase. It is not an unlimited given to the school district, although we unlimit the amount we allow counties and cities to capture. This bill limits school districts to 4%. In fiscal year 2002, the per student allocation, as many of you know, is $3,802. This provision would limit the amount a district could receive under the new construction tax to 4% of that amount, which adds up to $152 in the fiscal year 2002. If this bill has would become law, a district with an ADM of 500 would be limited to a total new construction levy of $76,000 in 2002. The purpose of this provision is to limit schools which could suddenly find themselves in an extreme amount of windfall, what we would call windfall up here in Pierre. And I think it's fairly self-explanatory. The third point I'd really like to stress is that no school districts with a fund balance in excess of 20% can levy the new construction tax in the succeeding year. State law currently reduces general fund state aid to any school district that has a fund balance in excess of 20%. This provision would simply follow that logic by not allowing those particular districts to raise additional revenue by levying the new construction. And fourthly, if a school district does not levy the new construction tax in a given year, it cannot, quote, make up the difference in succeeding fiscal years. This is an option for a school district. If they do not use the option, they lose the option. It is a board decision, and it will be made openly in public by a board. You may hear some arguments against this bill, and I'm going to briefly touch on them. The state aid formula already accounts for increased costs by funding districts on a per pupil basis. About two-thirds of South Dakota's counties have declining populations, yet we still allowed them to access their, increase their budgets by the index factor plus growth in assessment to new construction. School districts, though, in this bill are only asking to be treated in the same manner, and it seems only fair. I know I'll also hear that growth is adequately accounted for because if you have an increasing ADM, you would get more money. And counties are somehow different because they have to provide infrastructure. Well, a sewer to $1 million house is the same sewer that goes to a $50,000 house. So I'm not convinced that that argument is totally correct. Most importantly, I want to stress that this bill does not raise property taxes, and you will hear that. The truth of this bill is that it will only slow the reduction in property tax rates on a statewide basis. The new construction coming in on the tax rolls will essentially pay for more than the total taxes that can be raised due to this bill. Now, let me repeat that statement and ask why. The new construction coming in on the tax rolls will essentially pay for more than the total taxes that can be raised due to this bill. Why is that? New construction combined with decreasing enrollments will allow school districts' general fund tax rates to continue to decrease. They just won't drip as sharply as they have in the past. So let's look at a coffee fund. 10 people are in this coffee fund. 10 senators are in this coffee fund. We're each paying $10 to fund a $100 coffee fund. If we ask an 11th person to join us, we can ask them to contribute money, and each of us will be assessed $9. Higher taxes, I have two answers. A two-word answer, lower levy. This bill is unfair because schools with increasing property valuations will get more funding than other schools. That may be another criticism that you will hear. Dollars raised. And my answer is that dollars raised via the new construction tax would be considered funds outside the formula and that is true.
Time.
Thank you. It will be funds outside the formula, and I can't stress enough that this is not part of the school aid formula. Currently, the small school factor, along with other funds outside the formula, already set up a disparity. And you only have to realize that of the 33 districts, I took the 33 districts that would gain under this, the first 33 districts that would gain under this, 30 of them are the lowest spending districts in the state. So contrary to the thought that it could, in reality, it wouldn't increase any disparity. So while this bill will virtually help all school districts whose fund balance is less than 20%, it tends to help most those districts that spend the fewest dollars per student, thus making the total state funding picture more equitable. I would urge the Senate to pass Senate Bill 149. Now is the time to make a change. Now is the time to make a change because our property tax levies are going down. We have every indication, if you project out even 5 years, that they will continue to go down. Now is the time, and by not giving a single state dollar increase from our budget, but simply respecting schools as governmental partners, as deserving as any county or city in our state, we can make a difference. I thank you for the time that you've given me today. I feel this is an important bill, and I urge you to vote for Senate Bill 149. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Drake.
Thank you, Madam Leader. Ladies and gentlemen of the body, it's not often that I get to stand and talk against my majority leader, but there are several issues that deal with this bill that I think we have to weigh carefully. First off, when we do talk about fairness with cities and counties, they do have infrastructure needs. They have to provide roads, they have to provide sewer and other utilities to these sites as they expand, whereas a school, just because an industrial site grows, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to have more students. Excuse me. If they do have more students, they get a higher ADM from the state, and so they can pay for that infrastructure change. If we look at the potential, though this is, quote, revenue neutral to the state, the reason we went to this formula a number of years ago was to reduce property taxes. We went to a 30% reduction in property tax. This has the potential of increasing property taxes at the local level for these 60-some districts, $7 million at first. And if the 20% factor, once these schools drop below the 20% factor, that number could climb to $19 million. That's a quarter of the total property tax relief that we have given back to our local property tax people of this state. And finally, as we look at this, they do have an option in these districts, just like they have in every other district, of opting out if they need extra funds. And as we know, when we talk about this idea of a coffee club with 10 people sitting there, and if we bring in an 11th person, it's going to lower the cost, we found out with past history that all it does is we tax that person just as high and spend their money as well. With that, I'll sit down and urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Keeping what Senator Drake said in mind, I'd like to ask this body really if they truly believe that we haven't begun to answer a lot of the questions. Last year it was the reserves, it was 1258. We picked the magic number of 20%. A lot of us had a tough time voting for that. But right now, across the state of South Dakota, we have a $25 million hole in general fund. You cannot expect progress to be made, i.e. 3% raises or 4% raises, when the state gives 1.7 and 1.8% raises or increases back to the foundation formula per student. You know, I'll use my district as an example, and I promise you will be the last time I whine in front of you, but I noticed in the paper today, we were talking about the sales tax collections in Mitchell. and they're rather impressive. In 1999, they were increased just about 9%, and then in 2000, we had a 19.36% increase, and we all know what that was. So we've been blessed with really helping the state out with many more additional sales tax dollars. The Senator Everest mentioned to you that certainly the districts that will appear to benefit initially the most by also being able to do what their city and what their county does will be the lowest spending districts. My district spends at the 164th level. The board has just voted to opt out for $700,000 along with $300,000 in cuts. The budget that the board will probably end up adopting this year is $300,000 below what it was in 1995. With this bill, the potential is that we, as a school district, will be able to enjoy some of the growth that we've had in our district in a very protected way. Senator Drake made mention the fact that cities and counties have infrastructure. You all can picture a downtown remodel in Sioux Falls where the infrastructure, in fact, is there. And there's no needed additional expense for that infrastructure. Yet the value continues to grow. I think this is a tremendous effort, keeping in mind that the author was somebody that we employed last year, Mr. Veek from the Sioux Falls Public Schools. I think Senate Bill 149 is a very fair effort to try to continue to keep the property tax law. I just believe very sincerely that with our declining enrollments, the property tax rates are not going to go up. They're just maybe not going to go down as fast. But I think it's a really an excellent piece of legislation. I'd urge you to pass it.
Further remarks? Senator Koskin.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, before I get into the meat of what I want to talk about, I'd like to just clarify what Senator Drake has mentioned in his testimony, and that's about additional money for growth. And everybody should understand that it's not just because they get more students they get more money. There's an additional ADM allowance. In other words, if they have 10,000 and they have a certain growth, they may have 10,100. So it's on above what the numbers that are actually there. So there is that allowance already in statute. That's there. But what I would like to address mainly is the fairness of the bill that we have created since 95 and how it's perceived by the public and how it's perceived by the superintendents that are working with it and its legislators. It's a fairly understandable formula, and you know what you're going to get from year to year. The concern I have is we start hanging more things on this law that we have on the books, it's going to become harder to defend. And we have up here in Pierre, maybe not every year, but every other year, tried to do away with funds outside the formula. We have had bills up here that try to put the fines, highway fines, in the formula. Modular homes or manufactured homes. We've tried putting that in the formula, and we continue to have that battle because those make one district gain, one district a winner more so than another district, and that's not what an equalization formula is supposed to do. We're trying to provide an equal educational opportunity for the young people in South Dakota, and it's not fair right now. There are other factors that we consider, but this continues to make that a harder to defend formula. Right now, if you look at the formula, and everybody's not at, for example, $6 a thousand on their homes, I'm not sure exactly the rate is between $5 and $6, but if everybody's not equal across the state, you can go to them and ask why. It may be because they have an income from a bank franchise tax or centrally assessed or something like that, or they can spend less. But that's about the only reasons you should have less than the recommended state rate of $5 a thousand. This is going to further confuse it. I think that we do have, to respond to Senator Olson's situation, we as a legislature set up in 95 a recommended rate. And it's not a cap, it's a recommended rate, and they have the option to go above that. And I would urge the body to reject this proposal. And I know it's in sincere earnest that we try to create more money, but it makes our formula harder to defend.
Further remarks, Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll be brief in my remarks. I just want you to know that I was around in 1995 when this package was put together in terms of property tax relief. Not only do I defend the formula today, but I also am very proud of the fact that we have garnered the property tax relief for the citizens of South Dakota that we have. However, I will tell you, being here, that this concept was discussed at that time in 1995. This isn't a creature of any business manager from the city of Sioux Falls. In fact, the premise was to start out with cities, counties, and schools, and all lower political subdivisions being treated equally. The school part of it was dropped off, and I agreed that we needed to collect data to see how our new formula worked before we would make changes to it. I'm still not here proposing a change to our school aid formula, but I am here saying that school districts should be treated just like we treat counties and cities. As Senator Olson stood up and talked to you about his city of Mitchell, I will tell you that in 1995, he wouldn't have made the same speech about growth in the city of Mitchell. It's only been because of a Cabela's, it's only been because of a Walmart, and it's been because of the efforts of that community that he can stand here and sincerely say, oh my gosh. But let me tell you, as Cabela's comes to Mitchell, so do young families, people who are willing to work in those stores, and young children who will be attending their schools. And that is a very good thing for the state of South Dakota. We should encourage that kind of economic development in every community. But we should not fail to realize that with that economic development comes cost to our schools. Our ADM in an increasing enrollment district lags behind at least by a year. And there are many reasons as a variety of people move into our communities and their needs, whether it may be language needs or whatever, are part of the burden of our school districts. This truly makes it fair. So with that in mind, I would ask you to vote once again for Senate Bill 149. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Drake.
Very briefly. I'd just like to respond to some of Senator Everest's statements. For one thing, they do get the ADM in those districts, such as Mitchell, when they're growing and getting the new families in. And the other thing is the construction of new schools also lags behind that ADM that comes in, and so it takes a while before they build new schools, and so thus they're getting the ADM ahead of that, so they are accumulating cash too. So
further remarks,
Madam President.
Senator Apa.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like the body to think of three things. Number one, this will only create more disparity in the other funds, because those other funds flow to the bigger school districts and not to the smaller school districts. Number two, this is an opt-out. And number three, unlike the current opt-out bill, this is not referable by the citizens who will be taxed. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. All I ask that you give the same patience, the same 6 years that I gave this to gather the data. We're talking about the lowest spending schools in the state. So we're also talking about ADMs that lag at least a year behind, and never can we figure out a way with tax collections to speed that process up. So I urge you to vote for 149. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final consideration of Senate Bill 149. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Apa?
No.
Bogue?
No.
Rose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dukratic?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
DeHuig?
Aye.
Dennert?
Aye.
Dietrich Larry?
No.
Dietrich Elmer?
No.
Drake?
No.
Duxbury?
No.
Everest? Greenfield?
No.
Hagen?
No.
Ham? Hutmacher?
Aye.
Cleven?
Aye.
Ketzel?
Aye.
Koskin?
No.
Madden?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Munson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Reedy.
Aye.
Staggers.
No.
Sutton.
Aye.
Simmons. Simmons.
No.
Vitter.
No.
Valesky.
Aye.
Whiting.
Aye.
Senator Dugard. Senator Dugard. Madam President, ayes 22, nays 12, excused 1.
Senate Bill 149 has received a majority vote of the members elect and is declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.